Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today. South Sudan Information Minister says the protection force coming to Juba should respect the rules of the country.
The penholder United States of America draft UNMISS mandate renewal seriously undermines the sovereignty of the Republic of South Sudan as a UN member state, and that Tigono strongly objects.
And the former detainee says South Sudan is using excuses to prevent the intervention force from being deployed to Juba.
There is no sovereignty with only government. It is the ordinary citizens that make a country sovereign, and the welfare and well-being of that people. It doesn't take one intelligent to start or to be very intelligent, to be a scientist, a philosopher, to understand what sovereignty is.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The South Sudan government says it rejects the proposed deployment of regional troops to South Sudan if they are going to be supervised by the UN mission in South Sudan. Information Minister Michael Makuei says such a move would undermine South Sudan's sovereignty. IGAD heads of state continue to meet in Addis Ababa to discuss a proposed regional protection force to be deployed to South Sudan. Tito Justin reports for VOA from Juba.
The UN Security Council last week approved a technical rollover of the UN mission in South Sudan's mandate, which expires this Friday. IGAD heads of state and their partners are discussing modifying that mandate. One of the things they might add to the mandate is to allow UNMISS to prevent the direct or indirect supply or sale of arms and aircraft to the government as well as the SPLA opposition. Government spokesman Michael Makuei says such a revised UNMISS mandate would be unacceptable to South Sudan.
The penholder United States of America draft UNMISS mandate renewal seriously undermines the sovereignty of the Republic of South Sudan as a UN member state, and that Tigono strongly objects. The text is very clear. It is turning South Sudan into a protectorate, and this is a situation that will not accept.
One IGAD communique says heads of state are considering deploying 4,000 troops to South Sudan. Makuei says the South Sudan government opposes deploying a protection force under the UNMISS mandate because UNMISS might deploy armed drones.
This is not the objective for which we wanted the protection force. And as such, the protection force should have been in an independent body, not under UNMISS.
Makuei also charges that IGAD heads of state have been meeting with our South Sudan's chief of staff, something he says contradicts the IGAD communique on the proposed protection force.
What was discussed inside the hall is not what came in the... Those provisions which we have criticized are not the ones that came in the discussion when the heads of states and government were sitting. And if these issues remain as they are, we have every right as a member state to reject the communique and distance ourselves from that communique.
Makuei Fada contends that proposed the new language in the UNMISS mandate renewal and cuts the provisions contained in the IGAD communique.
What is happening, what is being planned now against the people and the government of South Sudan is not the end of the game. We know very well how things are being moved in this world. So I call upon the African leaders to take care and be vigilant. Otherwise, this is the beginning of the end. This is the beginning of the new colonialism.
Makuei says the UNMISS Tongping site is in the proximity of Juba International Airport and might be determined under a new UNMISS mandate to constitute part of the area under UNMISS protection. He says the Transitional Government of National Unity will never entertain any proposal that compromises its authority for control over Juba's airport. For VOA News, I am Tito Justin in Juba.
South Sudan's former Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs says the government is already planning to block the deployment of the proposed regional protection force in South Sudan. Chirino Hiteng, who is also a senior member of the former political detainees, says his group supports the deployment of a regional protection force to save lives in South Sudan. Hiteng says the government in Juba is doing very little to protect civilians from unknown gunmen. He says the former detainees are working to save South Sudan from collapsing.
Former detainees We stand with the people of South Sudan, and the people of South Sudan need to be rescued, and the agreement need to be rescued. So what the Minister of Information in Juba is saying, it is incorrect. He knows exactly where we stand, and that we are for the rescue of the country and for the rescue of the people of South Sudan.
What is your proposal for finding a solution to the standoff that is going on right now? Because the government is saying they don't want the country to be taken over by foreign troops or even the United Nations. What is your stand on that?
We welcome the regional initiative to stabilize the security situation in the country. As you read in our stand, protect civilians and even pacify spoilers like Michael Makwe, the Minister of Information, who is trying to paint a false image that South Sudan is a sovereign state, is a country that it is. But for us, South Sudan is hanging on the balance. That's why we believe that what the region has decided to do is the right thing in order to get the country out of the likes of Michael Makwe and his cohort in Juba.
Apart from being a politician, Dr. Chirino, you are a professor of international relations. Could you walk us through this question of sovereignty? Because today Michael Makwe also said South Sudan is a sovereign state. Nobody should dictate on it. Could you tell us what is the difference between sovereignty and the interests of the people?
It is very simple. You are a sovereign country when you take responsibility for the most basic things that you need to deliver your people. First among them is security, is the welfare, the well-being of the people who make a country to be sovereign. There is no sovereignty with only government. It is the people, it is the ordinary citizens that make a country sovereign, and the welfare and well-being of that people which legitimizes any government in this world. It doesn't take one intelligence to start or to be very intelligent, to be a scientist, a philosopher, to understand what sovereignty is. This is the problem of people in Juba. They do not understand what sovereignty is. Sovereignty is them being in their positions, is being where they are in a government which is hollow, a government which delivers nothing on every single day and every single hour to its own people, leave alone the basic needs. But security, which is the most important thing for every human being, they are unable to do it, and they still claim sovereignty.
The former detainees are part of the transitional government of national unity. If today the leadership of the country is given to the former detainees, how would you solve the puzzle in South Sudan right now? You have fighting going on in some parts of the country. You have people running away from the country. The economy is in tatters. And, I mean, the issues are just endless. How would your group find a solution to this crisis?
Thank you very much. In fact, the former detainees, or the group of 10 plus, all those who support their stand, we do not claim to be the only ones to give a solution to the crisis in South Sudan. That is why we want this intervention force to get in and secure the country, secure the town, secure our people, remove the unknown government in town and everywhere, so that we can then create a stable political platform and put a political program or a roadmap. And this political program and roadmap is not only claimed by the former detainees or the group of 10 plus of those who believe in their stand. Therefore, we have called in our position for a roundtable, a forum that can bring first and foremost the signatories to the agreement, including those in IG, being all other South Sudanese and all like-minded people who really care for the welfare of the people of South Sudan rather than for themselves. Because these people in IG now, the likes of people you are listening to, who are singing sovereignty, they have lost the track.
Someone would argue, why are you meeting in Addis? The meetings should take place in Juba, where the other stakeholders are.
No, I think you're aware that there is only one stakeholder in Juba, which is the government, the IG, which you call IG in the agreement. The parties are out, Lamakol, under the use of resignation. Riek Machar is at large. Many of us are out, yes. In fact, I don't want to claim this, but the former detainees are the most committed to this agreement.
That's Chirino Hiteng, South Sudan's former Deputy Minister for Foreign Affairs and a member of the former detainees. He was speaking to me from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa, earlier today. South Sudan has accepted the deployment of additional foreign troops from regional countries to Juba. The foreign troops will help protect and boost the fighting capacity of the United Nations mission in South Sudan, as well as help defend civilians at risk of extreme violence following the recent clashes between opposition forces loyal to both President Kiir and former First Vice President Riek Machar. The newly appointed Minister of Petroleum in the Transitional Government of National Unity, Ezekiel Lolgavkwot, spoke to VOA's Peter Cloti about the deployment of foreign troops to the country.
We have been telling the region and the world that there is an agreement to be implemented, the agreement for the resolution of the conflict in the Republic of South Sudan. It is there. It should not be geared to one person. It is an agreement for the people of South Sudan. Anybody can implement this agreement. If they think that they can send a force, a small force, maybe 300 or 200 people, soldiers or max 1,000, to come and provide protection to the IDPs, we welcome it. But the details will be worked out by the Transitional Government of National Unity.
Taban Dengai, the first vice president of South Sudan, has promised to step down. Dr. Riek Machar will come and take up his position when he comes in. That has been agreed. That, some people say, means that the appointment that President Kiir made, the reshuffling of what he made, you inclusive being a new minister, is null and void, and that you are going to lose your position as the new petroleum minister as Taban Deng steps down. What is your reaction to that?
The communique is very clear, and it is stated in that communique that the internal arrangement of the SPLM, SPLA, IO, led by General Taban Dengai, is an internal issue. It has nothing to do with the region, and the region will work with the current setup of the Transitional Government of National Unity. It is a democratic process that we have done inside the SPLM, IO, and we have nominated Taban Dengai as the first vice president. As we speak now, he is the first vice president of the Republic, and he's implementing the agreement with the president of the Republic, Salva Kiir. For us, the agreement is moving on. I can actually tell you and promise you that nothing is going to change. The implementation of the agreement will be smooth. The working relationship with Salva and Taban Dengai is excellent. They are moving the process forward. If former First Vice President Dr. Machar has an interest in governing the country, he can contest in 2018.
What do you say to critics who say that you and Taban Dengai betrayed Dr. Riek Machar? Those of you who are his strongest allies betrayed him, and you were part of the plot supposedly to assassinate him.
There was no plot to kill him. There was no any intention. We did not betray him. He sent Taban Dengai as an advanced team leader to come and implement the agreement. We are implementing the agreement. Nobody is abandoning this agreement. Let me promise you, this agreement, nobody or one person will not destroy it. All of us, the people of South Sudan, are for peace. We do not betray anybody. We don't want to betray the people of South Sudan, because the worst thing that we could have done as leaders from the IO is to abandon the agreement, and that will be the worst betrayal to the people of South Sudan. You know, let me be honest to you. In J1, what had happened? I lost my own brother in J1. What had happened? There was no plot to kill anybody. There was no plot to kill Victoria. If there was a plot, he could have been killed. It was Salva Kiir who managed to take him out of J1 at midnight. And he protected him using his body to escort him to the car.
Will you ever be able to work with Dr. Riek Machar again? Because as part of this agreement I was reading, Taban Dengai promised the regional leaders that he will step down as the first vice president of the country.
Well, when he was asked, it was a question which was directed to him. If Dr. Riek returns and he wants to go back to his position, will you step down? Well, of course, he was censoring it, that I'm a man of peace. If Dr. Riek is ready to work with President Salva Kiir to implement the agreement, I have no problem. I will step down. But of course, it is answered in our position that the IO under Taban Dengai, he's the one which sat and we sat and we elected General Taban to take over as the SPLM IO leader to implement the agreement. For me, The process is an internal issue. It has nothing to do with the region. It has nothing to do with the SPLM in government, led by President Salva Kiir.
That is Ezekiel Lol Gapkwot, the newly appointed Minister of Petroleum in the Transitional Government of National Unity. He was speaking to VOA's Peter Clodi this week from Juba. You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, traders in Torit say they are fed up with attacks on the Juba-Torit Road and are ready to go home. We'll have that story after this.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what's your favorite spice that you like to add to your food?
I always like Asante added to my meals, to my sauce in most cases. Asante is a yellowish powder which is added to the vegetables when they are being cooked. It tastes very nice when you are just eating the food.
I think it is tomatoes because it makes food very delicious and tastes well.
The first thing I like to put on my food, it is the butter, the one that is came from the cows. It's because I born in the village when we have been using it, and until now, it makes food very better.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Yei River state officials say hundreds of civilians have been displaced from their villages near Yei town after fighting broke out last week between government forces and an unknown armed group. Officials say fighting started in Lasu village last week and spread to Kimba along the Yei Morobo Road yesterday. Waki Simon Wudu reports from the Kenyan capital, Nairobi.
Yei River State Information Minister Stephen Ladu says calm has returned to Mugo and Kimba villages, but residents are still hiding in the bushes, afraid that the fighting will resume.
The situation is calm, but because of the sound of the guns and other things, people just ran away. Most of them are just around the villages there.
Ladu says deadly fighting in Mugo began last week. He says the fighting in Kimba just broke out yesterday.
Five organized forces were killed last week in Mugo. Three from the regional force, one is the wildlife and one was police. So this created a lot of insecurity in the area, and a lot of activities that happened in the area led to military confrontation in the area.
Kimba is located about 40 miles south of Yei, while Mugo is about 14 miles from the main road connecting South Sudan to Uganda. Ladu says most businesses remain closed in the state capital due to the fighting.
Many traders now, they see that the economic activities are becoming shrinking and they're not able to bring their goods to the market.
The bishop of the Yei Diocese of the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan, Hilary Luate Adeba, says insecurity in parts of the state is becoming unbearable.
How do you deal with a situation like this? Except when we preach peace, we say whoever is holding guns, please put the guns down. Let us resolve issues peacefully.
Ladu says it's not clear whether the armed group clashing with the government forces is affiliated to the SPLA-IO or some other group. SPLA spokesman Brigadier General Lulurwai Kwang could not confirm the latest fighting near Yei town.
I'm not aware about any clash in Yei, sir. I'm not aware, sir. Okay. I need to get in touch with the command in that state.
SPLA-IO spokesman Major Dixon Galuak says the fighting in Yei River State is between forces loyal to former First Vice President Riek Machar and those who back President Salva Kiir.
It's not the first time. It has been on and on. And our forces have been having clashes in different locations on that side of Yei.
There is no independent confirmation of the fighting from eight agencies operating in Yei. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu in Nairobi.
Chito Justin contributed to that story from Juba. Sudan's Minister of Information says that now a roadmap has been signed between the government and the opposition coalition. The two sides are discussing how to distribute much-needed food to the three areas of Darfur, Blue Nile, and Southern Kordofan. Ahmed Bilal says the government has declared a ceasefire for almost 4 months, and if anyone is attacked, the government will respond.
If there is some sort of attack, this will be a reply. It's not actually initiated by our side. It will be a reply for others if they attack our army. But we have declared that, and we are restricted, and we are ready to stop completely ceasefire and to reach a ceasefire agreement.
Bilal says now that the roadmap peace has been signed by the opposition parties, the next move will be to negotiate between the SPLA North, the Darfur rebel groups, and the Sudan government in Addis Ababa.
The roadmap is very simple and clear. First part of it is that the two parties should stop hostilities and ceasefire. And this is a very important step. If this happens, then the next step will be the negotiation between the SPLA North and Darfur.
The representatives of the Troika, Norway, the United Kingdom, and the United States, along with Germany and the European Union, have said they welcome the signing of the roadmap agreement by the Justice and Equality Movement, the Sudan Liberation Movement, Minawi Faction, and the Sudan People's Liberation Movement North, and the National Omar Party. Traders in the Imatong state capital, Torit, are calling on the government to ensure security for traders and their businesses operating in the state. The traders charge that the government has failed to enact any measures to end insecurity, even though most attacks target traders. They say unless the Imatong state addresses the issue quickly, most traders will close their shops and leave the area. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Torit.
Hundreds of foreign traders here say they will leave their businesses behind and return home because too many of their colleagues have been killed along the Juba-Torit road. A majority of the traders who have already left the area are Ugandans and Sudanese who own shops in Torit. The traders point to a recent incident in which armed men shot and killed Sudanese traders traveling along the Juba-Torit road. Traders say at least four other traders have died in recent attacks. Ugandan trader Mubarak Kayemba says after his goods were looted 3 weeks ago, he is left with nothing.
Many people left the business. All Ugandans have gone. 90% went. For me, since I was looted, I remained here just stranded. Now I don't know whether the government will compensate me. If the government could clear the road by putting their armies, making patrol the road could be okay.
Kayemba says the government has a duty to make the roads safe for all travelers, including traders. Sudanese businessman Johannes Jabir says he too will leave Torit once his stock is depleted. Speaking in Arabic, Johannes says it is too dangerous to do business in Torit.
They are killing people. Even the previous Thursday, they killed two businessmen from Sudan, and many people are leaving daily. Some of us who are remaining will be seeing if security improves as before. Otherwise, we are leaving. Even today, four businessmen are going. They are going every day.
Lily Hidita is the Torit Chamber of Commerce chairperson. She says the government must do something to make business owners feel safe. She acknowledges that the government has put some effort by instructing government soldiers to accompany trucks transporting food items to Torit, but says that alone is not enough.
I want to ask our government here to assure us, as the traders who are trading in this state, that our state is good, our commodities are safe, our traders are not killed on the roads, then the town will be good for our traders to trade. And secondly, why I say this, if I talk generally of the security of our goods, every time you find the shops are broken, things are stolen, you go there, you recover one or two, but nothing was being done. While we have our security, who are keeping the security of our good in the market.
Hidita is pleading with gunmen to stop attacking traders on the roads and allow traders to bring much needed goods to the Turit.
Please, you leave the traders to move freely. And for you, whatever you are looking for, you cannot find it to the traders. The road is for everyone. Yeah, for me, I suggest that. Let them know if they continue killing the traders and also their parents, either their children, either their fathers, they will suffer in this town.
Juspin Akulang, the Imotong State Information Minister, declined to comment on the traders' concerns. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Turit.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. The South Sudan government says it will reject the proposed deployment of regional troops to South Sudan if they are going to be supervised by UNMISS. Information Minister Michael McQuay says that would undermine South Sudan's sovereignty. IGAD heads of state are meeting in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, to discuss a proposed regional protection force to be deployed to South Sudan after the deadly fighting in July. Last week, the UN Security Council approved a rollover of the UNMISS mandate, which expires this Friday. IGAD leaders are considering allowing UNMISS to prevent the direct or indirect supply or sale of arms and aircraft to the government, as well as to the SPLA in opposition. McQuay says that would be unacceptable to the government. One IGAD communique says heads of state are also considering sending 4,000 troops to South Sudan, although nothing has been decided. McQuay says the South Sudan government opposes deploying a protection force under the UNMISS mandate because UNMISS might deploy armed drones. South Sudan's former Deputy Foreign Affairs Minister says the government is planning to block the deployment of the proposed regional force. Cyrano Hiteng, who is also a senior member of the former political detainees, says his group supports the deployment of a regional protection force in order to save lives in South Sudan. Hiteng says the government in Juba is doing very little to protect civilians from unknown gunmen. He says former detainees are trying to save South Sudan from collapsing. And finally, Ye River state officials say hundreds of civilians have been displaced from their villages near Ye Town after fighting broke out last week between government forces and an unknown armed group. Officials say the fighting started in Lasu Village and spread to Kimba Village along the Ye Morobo Road yesterday. Ye River State Information Minister Stephen Ladu says calm has returned to Mugwo and Kimba villages, but residents are still hiding in the bushes, afraid that the fighting will resume. Kimba's located about 40 miles south of Ye, while Mugwo is about 14 miles from the main road connecting South Sudan to Uganda. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
That's our show for this Wednesday. We now leave you with the song We Want Peace by Emmanuel Jal.
And we gonna get it. Throw your hands in the air, let me see that you're with it. Corrupt governments causing wars and beef, and my only intent is to bring about peace. Sudan and Darfur gonna stand up proud, and the newborn mountains gonna shout it out loud. Freedom, freedom, song of the free one, fighting for the people in the African kingdom. Freedom fighters, we really need them. People in the world, you all gotta be when the evil and the wicked we will destroy. Bringing peace to every man. The massacre that happened in Africa to all the greedy leaders, we're coming after you. We're gonna catch you and take back our streets. Listen to the rhyme as I bring about peace.
We want peace and we're gonna get it. We're gonna get it. We're gonna get it. We want peace and we're gonna get it.
We've been listening to Emmanuel Jal with the song We Want Peace. Indeed, I need peace in South Sudan. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Up the land, 'cause nobody was speaking. That's why I am.